This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Listen to one of these?
No, I haven't.
Alright, hot mic, by the way.
We're live right the second. This mic's not that hot. I've seen hotter mics.
I just spilled water all over my face. Because you said hot mic is not that hot.
Yeah.
That just made me realize, just like, dumb jokes make me laugh probably more than funny jokes.
Yeah.
Like dad jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why.
I think the worse the pun, the funnier the joke, 9 times out of 10. I think, like, just the stupider the joke. I don't know, I just have that silly sense of humor.
Do you have, like, a go-to dumb joke that, like, first time you meet someone, if you want to give them a dumb joke?
See, no, I'm not really the best, like, joke teller. If anything, like, I've, like, used, like any good comedian, like, I've stolen a couple of jokes here or there. There's, like, the two-part joke that I actually took from one of my buddies, Kevin Kessler, you know, Vince Valentine,
who wrestles
for ECPW and stuff. They're like one of the dumbest jokes.
Is the shaggiest dog joke?
No, I love the really shaggy dog joke. That's one of the ones I still steal, and I really like to tell that joke too, especially because all that build-up.
And what's the other one?
Well, it's a two-part joke.
Ooh.
He tells... The way it's told is you tell a story. I'll tell you guys. So there's a guy walking down the street, and he sees a man standing here by his house with a bunch of bricks, like just a big pile of bricks. And he's like, "What are you doing with these bricks?" He's like, "Well, I'm offering $1 million to anyone who could build my house a chimney with using no more or no less than 100 bricks. You have 1 hour to do it." He's like, "Well, I just so happen to be a carpenter. You know, I spent all my time building houses and this stuff. I could easily do this. Give me 1 hour, go get $1 million, and come right back to this spot." So the guy's like, "All right." He goes, the guy whose house it is, walks away and goes away for an hour. An hour goes by, and the carpenter almost finished. He's looking at the whole thing, almost perfect, and then he realizes he still has one last brick. His hour's up, and the guy comes back. And with not knowing what to do, he just hid the brick behind his back. So the guy comes, starts inspecting the chimney. He's like, "Oh, wow, this is awesome." He's like, "This is great. And you used 100 bricks, no more, no less." He's like, "Yep. Well, then what's that behind your back?" The guy goes, "All right, you caught me. I have one brick left, but it's a perfect chimney." He's like, "No deal. You have to use all 100 bricks." He's like, "How about this? If I could throw this brick in the air and have it not come down, then you still pay me $1 million anyway." So he's like, "All right, deal." This dude chucks the brick up as hard as he can, and then the brick doesn't come down.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, I think I remember the second part of this.
Yeah.
Is there another joke?
Yeah, well, the way I like to tell this joke from him, because he usually tells the joke right back to back.
Right.
I let it linger.
Right, and then you wait like half an hour.
Well, the best was my buddy Rob Riley when we were working at the telemarketing place here in Sayreville, CDI.
Okay.
I let it sit for like 2 days. Like, I told him the joke at the beginning of the shift the one day, and then, 2 days later, we're just sitting there joking around, and he's like, "You gotta be kidding me." So, like...
What'd you tell him the second part?
When did I tell him?
No, what was the second part?
Of the joke.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you later.
No, okay, so we're gonna finish this episode with the
second
half.
That's totally okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Well, I was planning on going back to it. I could have just thrown it in anywhere. So, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever you want. If I ask you a story or anything.
Just go to it.
Give me that story instead.
All right. That's actually a great idea.
Oh, yeah. That's really funny. So, for those of you that are listening, I think this is going to be a good treat for most people because they've never heard me argue with someone on the podcast. It's only been like, oh, yeah, I agree with you, or oh, that's a good point of view. I think that sitting across from me right now is UWA Elite superstar. Hedges used to go by Joey Hedges, but now just Hedges. Can I ask you why you got rid of the Joey? Do you think it's like Joey's kind of a kid name.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be serious.
When I started Joey, I was a young, much more chunkier kid, let's put it nicely, you know?
Joey's a
sound like a jolly. Yeah, sound like a jolly, like, you know, fun thing. So, like, I went with it, and I didn't like Andrew so much as a wrestling name.
Right.
I think in retrospective, I like it a lot more now than I would have back then. Like, Andrew, I feel like I could have totally got away with it.
Well, the good news is that it doesn't really matter.
No.
I mean, you could just...
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Roach, Corvus Fear, Eric Corvus, even Gavin Quest and Mike Quest.
Right.
Like, so many people changed their name.
It doesn't matter. Well, also, though, like, if you notice, like, the trend of, like, the one name,
names.
Hedges, the name itself is, it's one name, Hedges. It's pretty, it sticks out. I mean, you get a lot of questions about, like, why Hedges, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Obviously, I get the same questions for my name. It's always, you know, what does it mean? Where did you get it from? Where did it come from?
Yeah, I mean, yours is a little bit cooler sounding, I guess, than Hedges. But, you know,
guess.
I mean
it had more people because your original gimmick.
I was just like, yeah, I was told, yeah, exactly. You know, I started off, I wrestled for ECPW, like, when I went to training. That's where I went to school for wrestling. And
Gino Caruso,
yeah. And he was very 80s and very into, like, gimmicky gimmicks. So we went with the lawn care character because I was obviously Hispanic and they all mow lawns. And do landscaping, apparently. Yeah. Well, when you're 16, that's what you think.
Really?
15. I don't know. Stereotypes for a reason, bruh.
So you're saying stereotypes are for a reason?
No. I'm just saying that they're there.
They are there.
Yeah.
Well,
they're there.
Well, can you think of any stereotypes?
I mean, there's obviously, you don't want to go right to a stereotype.
But can you think of any stereotypes that are true? Like, are there any real stereotypes that are out in the world that people call, oh, that's just a stereotype, but...
Well, I mean...
90% of the time, it's
true. I was saying, I feel like they're cliche for a reason. Like,
right.
You know, like, yeah, I mean, as I'm Jewish. Like, I was raised Jewish and went through, and the big Jewish stereotype is we're all cheap. And whereas I personally don't feel like I'm a cheap Jew... Being surrounded by lots of them, you see things, you know. But it doesn't matter, you know. Working in a restaurant too, like, you see all different kinds of people and walks, and you don't ever know what to expect from everyone. You know, I mean, there's obviously people that you go to your table and you're like, oh, great, but there's other ones.
Don't be general about it. Be specific.
I'd say, like, you know, especially Hispanic people.
Okay,
are notoriously. Like 10% tippers.
Okay.
Like
10%?
Yeah.
Wow.
Usually. Yeah. You know, black people.
Yes, I know black people.
Black people.
What about them?
Well, you're a bartender. Like, you bartend too, so you...
Yeah, but in the bar that I work at is very white.
Right. Well, I mean, the area where I've worked, there's, you know, it's a good mix of people. There's the huge, there's all different kinds
of
people.
Right, well, it's a chain, right? So it's very...
Well, it's... Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
So
my experience in
a chain is more people. I think people are more apt to going to
well,
chains than they are going to just, like, if I saw a Dunkin' Donuts and John's Coffee, obviously I'm going to be like, well, I know what I can get from Dunkin' Donuts because I know their menu.
Well, the restaurant I'm currently working now, Kona Grill, is a chain restaurant, but it's the only location in New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's not very many other around here. Like, there's only maybe like 60 through the whole United States. But
I didn't know that. I just judging by how it was built and, like, the sign, you can tell the difference between chain
it's,
and...
Yeah, of course you can, between mom and pop place. And it's, no, but we have, like, a side of the restaurant, like, it's a patio. It's, like, all, like, open windows and, like, happy hour drinks. And then we have a side that's also, like, a dining room. and like it's just nicer. It's like it's slower, same menu, but and you notice the difference in types of people that go towards the one side with the happy hour and then the other side with that doesn't have like half price drinks and stuff. So
gotcha. All right, so I have a question.
Yes.
I've noticed, and I've been to the gym with you plenty of times, and actually we went to the gym like once or twice together when you first started, when you were like 17 or 18.
Yeah.
And I remember you being awful at the gym. Yeah. Is there something, not even gym related, just something in your life that you feel like 5, maybe 10 years ago you wouldn't have been able to do? Maybe even mentally, like now you're even mentally tougher than you were. It could be relationship-wise. It could be, like, the way you treat people. Is there anything 10 years, 5 years ago that you weren't able to do that now you can do?
Well, that this whole, like, weight loss journey, like, I've lost over about, like, 120 pounds throughout the years. Like 5 years ago, specifically, when we were living together. For those who didn't know, Kitty and I were roommates for a year. And we fought all the time.
All the time.
But anyway, so I was dating a girl at the time. Her name was Megan. And it was just a really terrible, like, an unhealthy relationship. It wasn't good. And we ate a lot, and I got really heavy. And just things were, like, I just got
so... I have pictures.
Yeah. Lots of pictures.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but Big Dan was sending me pictures similar to the ones that I have. From Wild.
No, he showed me eventually.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
But, I mean, it's in Wildwood, like, I slept on the couch, so if they have a picture of me in the underwear, it's different. You physically broke into my room.
Bullcorn. There was
the other time you climbed, went around outside through my window and took pictures of me sleeping.
Yeah, well, you realize that your roommate has his hands down his pants constantly and no shirt on when he sleeps, then you find new and creative ways to try to get pictures.
It's not only when I sleep, man. My hands just gravitate.
Always down
there? They just gravitate. Not always, but they gravitate. Like, I don't know.
You don't know?
I mean, I don't know why. It's just...
So the weight loss thing, like, is that... I mean, you said...
Well, yeah.
What's the toughest part of it? Is it going to the gym or is it what you eat?
It's definitely what you eat. Definitely what you eat definitely took the longest part to get down. Going to the gym was okay. Like, you know, it's intimidating at first, especially as someone who's so heavy. You know, you see all the people around. But, no, like, actually getting up and going for me is the biggest challenge now. Like, I can get up and just not want to move. Like, just sometimes you just want to fight the, like, you just don't want to be there and don't want to go. But the second I get there, I'm totally, like, at the gym physically. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go and feeling good. But I guess I was a lot more brash when I was younger, like 5 years ago. Like, I was so quick to make judgments and stuff, where I kind of was angry, I feel like, a lot too. Like, I had a lot of me and you fought all the time over stupid stuff, like this dish wasn't clean enough or this can's over here or, you know, you didn't put my DVD back.
Like, right, and I think those are all underlying things. Like, right. I think when you get mad at small stuff like that, there's more to your anger and to your, you know,
absolutely,
mindset than just, oh my God, that dish needs to be cleaned. Well, feel like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. But that's you know, when maybe why I let myself get as heavy as I did, or, you know, put myself in such an unhealthy relationship.
But what was
so
it
long.
That was make is it
I don't know.
Is it that you were heavy? Like, is that something, or is it
so.
Just
like, I guess I never, maybe it was a respect issue of sorts. I felt like I was never really, or always looked down upon, maybe because of my weight or other, like, wasn't necessarily looked as a peer or equal, and I tried to give everyone an opportunity to be that to me, you know. It as soon as I meet anyone now, like, I'm gonna give you that opportunity to be. Obviously, you have the stereotypes and cliches that you're thinking of when you meet someone. That's the deal. But you have to kind of take people as case to case, because no two people are the same. So, like, I just felt like because of how I was, how I looked, and how, yeah, I can be kind of obnoxious. I understand that too. If my, like, the way I speak sometimes is just...
Well, but do you think that goes back to that kind of stuff? Like, you have to be the loudest voice in the room because you feel like you were always looked at as a certain thing, and now...
Yeah.
Because I think when I was maybe 18, 19, 20, I was the same way. I needed to be heard because... And I even have this written down in notes that I have for future podcasts, and I didn't even think it was going to be brought up now, but I'm glad it's being brought up, is that My entire life, I was very small, like short and skinny and like the little bitch of the group. And I always felt like I always have to do more to be, hey, guys, like I can do what you can do. Like I'm here.
Yeah.
And that mentality stayed with me for my entire life, that I always felt like the youngest part of the group, even though I'm like an older person with people I hang out with. You know what I mean? Like I never felt like, and maybe that's why, maybe that's why I'm a coach and I'm trying to be a teacher, is because I was never the person in that role. I was always the person underneath.
Well, I think that's also a huge reason why, like, people like you and I, because we just said, you know, that's something we have in common. That's something, a reason why we were drawn to wrestling. Not only because you're in front of stage, in front of all these people with their eyes on you, but wrestling wasn't always, is more about a story. You know, it's not like it, you didn't have to be, for you, like, you're far more athletic. Anyone standing next to each other can tell that you're more athletic than I am. You can run quicker, you can jump higher, maybe even a little bit stronger, maybe. but anyway, wrestling wasn't about just being athletic. It's about your ability to, you know, tell a story as well. It's a whole other aspect of it. And, you know, where wins and losses didn't really matter. You know, I didn't really, like, I tried, like, when I was younger, like, because I was heavier, like, I tried playing soccer and baseball, and they were all right. I had fun, and I just wasn't the same thing for me. Like, I tried scholastic wrestling when in Sayreville Middle when I was living here. And that also...
Did you really?
Yeah, I did it for...
Do you remember your coach's name?
Coach Began.
You had Coach Began?
Yeah. He's a nice guy. But again, I was just...
Have you been reading the paper?
Way out of shape, not so into it. What's that?
Have you been reading the paper?
No.
You know he's the one that got the job at Sayreville High School football now.
Oh, I did not
know
he's
that. The head coach
of
football.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, nice.
Good for him.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
No?
No. He always kind of seemed like a dick to me.
Yeah, no, he totally was. But like, I feel like that is... Well, wrestling coaches, like a stereotype, like, once again, going back to stereotypes, like the hard nosed, like, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's why maybe I'm not the coach they are. Like, I'm not that guy. Maybe I wasn't raised in the football mentality. I wasn't raised in the wrestling mentality. I was kind of just raised in life. Like, I don't believe in all that winning at all costs and sacrificing the future of your life to win now. Like, I don't believe any of that stuff.
Right.
And I butt heads with a lot of coaches because I don't believe in that stuff. And I just, I don't know. I feel like my job is not to win football games as much as it is to prepare people for life while teaching them life during and using football as the.
No. Yeah. And I feel like, especially, I think that's the way teachers and coaches should be approaching,
which is not, I mean, listen, being in involved right now in the education field, it's just, I don't understand. And it's funny to hear them bitch about the things. Like, I hate Chris Christie, and I hate the things that he's doing as far as education. Like, he's just ripping funding out of education. And everyone bitches about it. But the things that he's saying, like the complacentness of people and complacency of people and the idea that it's just a job to them and they're not taking, you know, I'm a teacher. Every day matters to me because you don't know what this kid is going through. You don't know what this kid needs from you. So me personally, like when I go to coach and teach and stuff like that, like I have to put a game face on knowing that I can't let things affect me the way that they normally do. Because if I step out of character for a minute, one of these kids might not be able to do the things that they're going to do.
Exactly. I mean, I have so much respect for people. Well, for people getting in the teaching industry for the right reasons. I mean, there are people I know who are doing it for paychecks, you know, they're just not good at anything else. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you really don't get paid a lot. Rally.
No, absolutely. Well, no, I understand that too, which is
I think
bad.
I think it's easy to be a bad teacher.
Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people don't realize that. As a teacher, your job is to be shaping these people to be upstanding young adults. And if you didn't grow up to be an upstanding young adult yourself, then... But unfortunately, there is no guidelines to that. Like,
right, but that's what I'm saying. What's an upstanding adult?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Well, I think this because, is something. Well, because, this is what I'm. This is
well, because there's different things that I think make an upstanding adult, and there's different things that you think make an upstanding adult.
It's something, especially I think, why you and I have the good conversation that we do is because we both feel like we want the best, and we're trying to, you know, forward thinking and doing, like, we want to be the best people we can. I guess we just feel that there's different ways about doing it, you know, like, right. different values.
Like, I don't know. I don't feel like, I don't know, having the occasional, you know, weed or marijuana, like, it doesn't make anyone a bad person.
Of course.
But I feel like there are guidelines that you are set to live by, not because they're right or wrong, but because those are the guidelines, and I'm losing words now, which is great for a podcast. It's the sign that you're mature enough to understand that whether I believe this is right or wrong, it's the thing that is what is supposed to happen, so I have to do that.
Okay.
And to me, that's kind of the sign of growing up and being an adult, is because I know that my life ahead of me is more important, I'm giving up the things. Like, yes, could I sit around and want to play PlayStation all day? Absolutely.
Of course.
But will it affect my life if that's what I choose to do?
Yeah.
Yes. So I have to be a grown adult man and say, let me put all of my childish things behind and do mature adult things.
Of course. I mean, I feel there needs to be a balance of the two, because, I mean, you can spend, you know, there's people that spend their days working day in, day night. Kids go to college, study all night long, cram, take, you know, do what they got to do, take 20 credits a semester, and they don't end up having, they miss out on college experience that they should have definitely, like, got. I mean, yeah, not all of them are, I guess, the most glamorous things in the world, you know, getting really drunk and passing out on the lawn, or, you know, throwing out the garbage can isn't the most glamorous things, but I feel like those kinds of life experiences are necessary, you know, to really get a good idea of what's out there. I mean, there's just so many different ways, I mean, to do things like that.
But what do you mean,
well,
get a good glimpse of what's out there? Because I feel like there's ways to see what's out there without doing them.
I don't like
seafood. I've never tried oysters.
Well, see, that's and I think that's wrong.
You think that's wrong?
I think that's wrong.
That I've stared at oysters and they're slimy and disgusting, something I'm into?
That's personally for you. That's the way you feel about it. That's okay. But for me, I'm thinking, that might be really delicious, you know? Like,
yeah, people, and I understand this, that.
And I'm going to try it. Like, I'm going to try it.
Okay.
Like,
but why is it wrong to not try it?
Because I think...
You said it's wrong.
I think it, yeah.
Because the word wrong is...
Right, no,
that's pretty definite.
I do think it's wrong to not try it, because I believe that there are things that you should be trying.
Okay, like, but what do you mean, things that you should be trying? Because now you're saying that there are some things you should be trying.
Right. No, well, I mean...
Because I'm saying...
Right, it's shades of gray. There's plenty of things. If you're asking me, should I try, you know, taking a jackhammer in my butt? No.
Okay, that's not where I was going.
I'm sure you're going to something that's very, maybe a little less ridiculous than what
right.
I just said.
Right.
But along those lines, like, I know you shouldn't be shooting heroin into your arm, as an example.
Because people are telling people, I've heard stories of how it's the greatest feeling you've ever had in your entire life.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure of that too.
And the reason why people don't do heroin is because they love
heroin. I suppose it's a risk reward factor for yourself.
Right.
You know, if you eat oysters, the risk is you say, ew, yuckies, and you spit it out. You know, you
I
shoot
don't
heroin.
Know if my reaction would be, ew, yuckies, and spit it out.
It might be.
Because there's plenty. Maybe if I shoot up heroin, my veins will say "ew, yuckies," and spit it out.
Or you could just shoot up heroin and the rest over of your life. Die.
Yeah.
That's actually maybe 2 years ago. Actually, my cousin, who's maybe a year and older than I am,
I think I remember this.
Yeah, he overdosed on, or just got some bad heroin, and that was that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that oyster's probably not going to kill you.
Right, but so let's just say, for example, skydiving. There are people who go skydiving and their chute doesn't open and they die.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I mean, I'm not going skydiving.
Why not?
Well,
do you think that's wrong?
How
do you know
wrong.
That you don't like it until you try it?
I just know me personally, I'm not a fan of Well, that kind of like.
So me personally, beer. I'm not a fan of seafood.
Right. No. Yeah. Okay.
So like, and I mean, here's the big thing, because this happens to me all the time. I get into this conversation all the time with people telling me I'm missing out on things because I don't try.
Right.
But I'm saying you're missing out because you're not containing yourself enough to enjoy the things even more that you like. Like, you understand? I'm sacrificing, and I wouldn't even say sacrificing because I don't think I'd enjoy it anyway. But, like, for example, I've told on this podcast that I hate flying, right? And I told the story about me flying and having a panic attack and all that stuff. Right. So people tell me all the time that I'm missing out on things in life because I'm not allowing myself to go and do that thing. But the mental stress and the mental anguish that I go through before getting on a plane is not worth seeing any sight in the entire world, because my body for real shuts down. Okay. It's crippling fear to get on a plane. And it's not like the day of, I just wake up and say, oh my God, now I'm scared. It's I book a flight 7 months in advance, and there's moments in my life that I'm thinking, in 7 months I have to get on a plane and I can have a panic attack for it. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
And it's the most ridiculous thing in the entire world, because it's the only thing in my entire life that I feel that way
well,
about.
Well, it's not, though. But I'm saying some people are just wired certain ways. It's not like you said, I'm never hopping on a plane ever. You know, you did
because
it.
Because I hate them.
You like, did it. Right. You did it. Like, you know what I'm saying? You went sucked. On. You got
it. It was the worst. Like, but, and I only did it because my parents were like, oh, it's our 35th wedding anniversary.
I kind of understand and agree with what you're saying. It's along with the same vein as words. I feel like words are just tossed around these days. Like the L word for love, not lesbians.
The L word for love.
Not lesbians, but...
Right. But what do you mean? I disagree with you.
I feel like people throw around a word like love, and because it gets thrown away around the way it does, it loses its value.
Mm.
So you're saying...
I completely disagree.
Really?
Yes.
Like, especially with curse words. Like,
you know what? No, curse words I hate. And I don't know why, but they bug me. Maybe it's because I'm a teacher.
Well, I feel like when I was growing up, especially because you are a teacher, right? If you drop the F-bomb in school, you just started saying, fuck this, fuck that, you know? Or, you know, you stood up on a table and said, fuck her right in the pussy. Like,
right.
That was, you were getting in real trouble, not right. Like, you say, as a teacher, these kids walk around and F-bomb that.
I hear the F-word more than 20 times a day walking through hallways and even, you know, in the locker room and all that stuff.
I mean, just in regular conversation, you talk to people like a peer.
But see, this is my point, is that for you, that's like out of control that people are using such shitty language because they don't have the respect enough to treat the English language the way it should be treated. Now, my point to you is, there's also things that you do in life that are not treating, like, let's just say, for example, what we were just talking about. You're choosing to do something that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was still even looked at even worse. And now it's more, there's no shame, I think, anymore. Like, no one's ashamed of the things that they do. It's all because, you know why?
Yeah.
And I hate to be because of the TV, but if you look on TV, we're glorifying all of the stuff that people do, and then they go out and do it, and like we're like, how do these kids get these ideas to do these crazy things?
It's not even the TV.
We're glorifying them, though.
It's the internet that does all this.
But we're glorifying it.
Yes, exactly. Like all these like, I mean, Tosh.0, it's a great show, hilarious. But like the way it glorifies these people doing stupid things, like...
I don't think it glorifies, I think...
Like, Jackass, like remember him, Jackass.
Okay, Jackass, like, yes, but... Tosh makes fun of these people without them even knowing
it. It's still glorifying them in a way. Like, you're still putting them up on this stage for everyone to see.
Right, so if someone wants to be on TV, they could just say, I do stupid things, and then he'll put them on. But I think Tosh knows the difference between people who are stupid and people who are pretending to be stupid.
Saying, like, you have a whole bunch of shows like that. He's not the only person doing that kind of
stuff. I mean, but that's just the one you brought up, I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel like, he's just the most famous example. Like, you know.
Who else...
Well, I know you have, like, Ridiculousness on MTV with, what's his name? Rob Dyrdek.
Yeah, well, me and...
Which is funny. I like that one, too.
Me and Dave Swan were even talking about this when he was on it's this weird, like, famous for the wrong reason mentality that, like, it doesn't matter how you get there. If you're there, like Monica Lewinsky, for example, is super famous. Everyone knows her name.
Right.
But she's famous because she blew the president.
It's the same thing with, like, all these, like, reality television stars. Like, why are the Kardashians so important? This Bruce Caitlyn Jenner thing. Like, why is that such... I don't understand why that's top front page news. Like, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
And what was the big argument was about people give... What award did Caitlyn Jenner get? And then there was a runner-up was
some, like, bravery or courage award.
Right, and the runner-up was a guy in the military who, like, lost his arms and legs,
like,
and
was, like, all to help a family, and then, like, still goes out and, like, teaches
stuff. Right, but people get mad because they're giving credibility to a stupid award. Like, for example, wrestling.
Right.
You sit in a wrestling locker room, and people say, well, I should be getting this, and I should be getting that, and I should be getting this. You're living in a fake world that some guy created. So what kind of vindication do you get from some random person who goes to work just like everyone else saying, okay, you're the champion?
Right.
Like, if I wanted to pull some 12-year-old out of the crowd and have him beat you in a match, I could do that because I'm in charge.
Absolutely.
So where's the credibility behind it? Like, I dislike...
Especially in wrestling, though.
The only one that I think really matters credibility-wise is WWE. Because over the years, it's given its name that it's, you know, it's what people
right.
look at.
It's not just one person saying, hey, you're the best. It's a community people
right.
of making that decision. WWE.
Right, like,
it's
so there's magazines written about you and stuff like that.
You're
like
on television, like, The Miz, you know, who started off on the MTV reality star, like, he went out, like, he became a wrestler, and then when he became the champion a couple years back, like, he was everywhere. Every talk show, every television, like, whatever they could put him on in front of, they did, and he was, like, a huge thing for them. So yeah, in WWE, it's much different than something that's...
Right, so I don't understand why people get so angry over not getting notoriety from bookers and promoters and all this stuff. Like, none of it matters. If you get in the ring and you wrestle a match that you think was awesome and you got your creative juices out of, like, the way and you did everything you could do to make it an awesome match, why is that not good enough? Like, where does this, like, I need to be the champion? Because I'm telling you right now, I don't need to be the champion to know I'm the best on a show. If
right.
I wrestle my match and I watch other people's matches, I know if I'm the best or not.
Right.
And that's part of my game, is that people come up to me all the time that don't know wrestling. Did you win? Did you win? And I say, no, I didn't win. And they're
no.
like, oh, that's why I never go watch you wrestle, because you always lose.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's
fake.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah. It's
some
story.
Guy.
It's a show. It's
some guy that works at the Halloween store tells me if I win or lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why is that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just such a crazy thing to get mad at.
No,
absolutely.
But
you're one of those guys.
You know what? Well,
I know we've had conversations in the past that you feel like you don't get as much credit as you need.
Absolutely. Well, this is, once again, this is something we were just talking about before. It's, and I feel like it always in the example of UWA.
Elite,
yes. We were more peers, like, you know what I'm saying? It was like a group of, it was like, you know, close personal friends. So for you to be completely underlooked or completely underutilized
by one person, but not by your peers.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Well, and that's why a lot of the issues came with that one person.
Because,
you know what I'm saying?
Because I'm telling you right now,
like, I never had a problem with, well,
when I watch your stuff, and when Brass, we used to have a problem,
yeah.
But that was when I thought you were being reckless in the ring. And I've watched you recently, and you're not.
No, yeah. I mean,
but back then, I think that's what you thought you had to do to make it look good.
No, see, it wasn't so much necessarily that I thought. Like, I mean, yeah, I believe that in wrestling, you should have hit a little bit harder. But
yeah.
A little bit of times, I feel like it was more nerves that made it. Like, I can hit you hard. Like, I could hit you hard enough and be safe about it. And I think as I was evolving as a wrestler, it was more nerves that made me a little maybe inaccurate with where I was placing some of my strikes and stuff that kind of gave me that reckless, you know.
I think that you had just started doing like this big mean gimmick and you felt like you had to hit a little harder.
Yeah.
But you were just very sloppy with where you were hitting.
Yeah. And I realized that. And right. I did,
like, and I told Dave I didn't want to wrestle you.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know. Right. I mean, listen, like I said, we're doing this to get our creative things out. Like, I don't want to have a problem when I'm out there. So there's guys that I've gone to Dave and said, I have no interest in wrestling any of these guys because I don't feel like I'm going to be able to be creative because they're always telling me what they want to do and they're never, hey, let's do this together.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go out there and get hurt just in front of, I mean, listen, I want to have the best match possible, but is it worth going out there and getting my ass kicked or just my head hit in the wrong way for, I need to get up and live my life. You know, like, I'm going to go out there and with some guy I don't trust just because you said, hey, go out there with this guy you don't trust.
Right.
Like, that's not how I do things. So there's definitely people that I have said I do not have any interest in working.
See, I try not to say that. I mean, you don't really, but, like, you hear stories of people being.
It's not stories. I watch them.
That's what I'm saying. You watch it happen. You know, you see things.
I sit in the locker. It's not like my ears are, like, I'm not deaf. I sit in the locker room and I listen to people call matches. I know how they do things. And then I watch them in the ring and they have no interest in doing things safely.
Yeah,
or,
but, you know, if you make it to a higher level, WWE says, hey, I want you to wrestle this guy. And you
say,
that's
different.
No, no, thanks. Like,
first
no, exactly.
of all,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's
first of all, WWE, when you're in it, that's your life.
Right, right, exactly. That's
so
true.
When you're in that moment and you're getting paid, that's your life.
Right.
If I'm Daniel Bryan and I have a reality TV show and I have millions of dollars and everyone, when I walk down the street, yells, yes, 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 I'll do what they tell me to do.
Oh, of course. But then again, that's also, you have a lot of control in the wrestling match. Granted, you don't want to wrestle this person or.
But I don't have control of him hitting me and where he hits me.
No.
And yes, I have the control to fire back. But I've never been the guy to try to escalate
things.
No,
I'm never the same. No, I'm the same way.
I hate, like, people. I think, I forgot who I was watching a match with. And I saw somebody get hit rather recklessly.
Yeah.
And the guy next to me was like, oh, you know, if that was me, I'd be getting him back.
Yeah.
That's a shitty mentality.
Oh, I hate this receipt mentality.
Because it's not worth it to me to now escalate things. To the point where now we're going to be fighting each other in the ring. Because the fight is the last thing I want to do.
No.
I'm in there to do a performance, a job. Like, that's exactly what I'm there for. If this guy isn't helping me, sure, maybe I'll end it a little quicker.
I mean, you could just walk out.
Yeah, I could. Fuck this wrestling shit, I'm hurt for real.
Exactly, you could do it. Well, no, but I'm saying, like, if you're in a match and you find yourself in an uncomfortable situation, instead of striking back, you could have a character way of legit ending this match if you didn't feel safe.
Taking
you
know your saying? Mask off, throwing it in the air and saying, fuck it, I'm Cypress.
I guess I didn't catch that reference.
Oh, you don't?
No, I
think I hope he listens.
That's a little bit before my time.
I hope he listens. He was in a masked character battle royal, and I guess something happened he didn't like someone hit him, so he just took his mask and threw it in the air and yelled, fuck it, I'm Cypress, and walked out.
That's great. All I'm saying, though, especially as a heel, like a heel, you get, you know, you have a good, you have a, like a match with an asshole, you can just roll out the wing. All
right. Right, so, you know, to avoid the confrontation of something like that happening, I'd rather tell people this is who I'm comfortable being with, and this is who I'm comfortable not being, or uncomfortable being.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd rather just not have that.
But this is what I was saying. Like, I like to give someone
the
benefit of the doubt in case scenario. So, like, I want to know how you're going to handle with me.
Well,
like,
but see, that's not what I'm interested in. Because people treat me differently, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because they think I'm better and I'm more athletic and they can do cooler stuff with me.
Yeah.
Seriously, more people come up to me and say, oh, I want to work you. Than, I mean, I guess the average person.
Yeah.
Like, and since I've been back, I've been getting it a lot, like Facebook messages and tweets and stuff like, oh, you're back, I want to work you, which is awesome. But there's guys that like want to work me that I'm not interested in working.
Well, But, I mean, that's also a preference. So, I mean, there's definitely guys who you think you know, like you said, you know yourself. You watch a match, you see these guys wrestle, you can tell who's better than you, who's not. So you have your own guys who you're more interested in working with. You know who you think you can have a good match with. There's nothing wrong with...
Well, but I want to have fun.
Yeah, well, that too.
And
yeah.
if I know that the guy that I'm going to be in there with is not going to be fun for me to work with, then why am I doing it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because why am I driving 3 hours to get $40 unless I'm going to have fun doing it?
No, yeah. See, that's the issue, too. It's also that going back to that risk-reward factor. So if you're driving 3 hours...
Right, when I was 20, 21, 22, I was like, fuck it, I'll go anywhere and wrestle anyone.
That's also part of what... Like, that's what wrestling was and is. Like I said, think of how many guys made their careers, like, started like that. You know, you have all your Chris Jericho shit.
Yeah, and I did that.
All across Canada. That's what I'm saying. That's one way to get your name out. And I guess for people like you and I, wrestling was never the end game. I know I've talked to you about this a whole bunch of times. Even like growing up, it wasn't an end game for me. Like, I mean, yeah, would I have been interested in it? I would have.
Right. Like if Vince McMahon calls you on the phone and says, hey, Andrew.
Right. If I was a little bit more dedicated to it too back then, you know, when I first started at 16 years old, 11 years
ago. Well, how old are you now?
27.
Okay, yeah, you're still in that time frame of if you got the phone call, you can still make a 10-year career out of being something.
Absolutely, but
like I'm 30, I'll be 32 in a month.
Right.
I get the phone call, it's going to take at least a year to get on TV, and then after that, like I'm 33, I want to live my life. Like I live the life of doing things that...
See, but I think that's just so different, though. Mm. Like, that you can't say you lived that.
No, but I lived a life of doing things like that, that I don't... No, no. But I lived my life where wrestling was all... I didn't mean, like, oh, I lived the life of millions of screaming fans and
saying... But that's what I'm saying. You haven't lived your life of making wrestling that, because I believe someone... as talented as you or someone who is as good as you could have really done something, but like you said, this isn't the end game.
No, and I've gotten that a lot of, like, even Steve Mack sat in the seat and said, we all thought you should have been hungrier. But I don't, it's very Matt Damon Goodwill Hunting to me, that because you have the gifts, do you have a responsibility to go as far as those gifts will take you, or do you want to live a life outside of the gifts that you were given? Let's just say, for example, Calvin Johnson was born 6'5", 230 pounds, 4'4 speed. But what if he wanted to be a fucking doctor? Like, does he have to be an NFL player just because he's tall, strong, and fast? And people where he came from are saying that he's a failure because he's not using his gifts. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, just because I'm good at wrestling doesn't mean I don't want to be a it doesn't mean I want to be a WWE wrestler.
I understand that too.
And that goes along with the conversation we had the other day with the ER words and labeling things. Like, yes.
I've been very conscious of that, by the way.
Isn't it crazy?
It's really crazy.
Right. Actually. So this is the conversation that we had on the 4th of July. Neither of us drunk. I don't know if you or anything else. I said there's an obsession with the world in labeling things and adding an ER to the end of what people do. So I'm a wrestler, but I'm not a wrestler. Like, I'm a guy who wrestles, you know, and the same thing with you. You're a bartender, but you're not a bartender. You're a guy who bartends because there's so many other different levels to you.
Right.
Like, that onion peeling analogy is completely true. Everyone's life is an onion, and every little peel is some other piece of themselves. Just because I have this sort of skill set where wrestling is advantageous to me doesn't mean that I should be a wrestler. Like, that's just not...
Yeah.
Because, yes, I was born with awesome jumping ability, and I'm going to push myself to the moon right now.
Okay.
I'm very fast. I can jump very high. I think knowledgeable wise, like, I tell a good story in my match.
Absolutely.
But there's moments where I see other people have matches and I'm like, there's no way I could tell a story as good as him. And it's not guys on the higher level. It's guys that are sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
I always second guess myself, but just in what we were talking about, I hate being told that I'm a failure because I didn't go where these skills could have brought me. Like, that's never what I wanted.
Right. I mean, and that's you're entitled to that. You shouldn't be doing anything you don't want to do.
Right.
I mean, that's just ultimately, like, you shouldn't take a career because you just.
But that's like the Goodwill Hunting thing. Right, he said he's right. smart enough. He reads all those books. He does all this stuff.
But on the other side of it, see, I don't necessarily, like, I wasn't as athletic in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm not tall. I can't jump high. I don't run fast.
I'm not tall.
Just in general. It's still taller than that. But like, all right.
How tall are
they? Who's, I guess, average in a lot, okay, of, in good. A lot of areas. It was, you kind of desire to have that something that, you know, you that puts you on that level. So me seeing you as the wrestler that I see you as and view you as in the light as I do.
As the guy who wrestles? You called me the wrestler.
Well, as the, I'm saying, the wrestler that I see you as.
Okay,
like,
so.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? You. When you're a wrestler, how I view you as that wrestler.
Gotcha.
Like, it's just. It's you shake your head at it, you know, and that's just the way. That's like how it is, I guess, in all, like, life. Like, if Calvin Johnson came and went and became a doctor, everyone's gonna shake their head because they're not that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Ultimately, there is no right or wrong answer to it. Like, if you want to be a doctor, they'll be a doctor.
No, right, but that's what I mean, is that there's such a problem in the world with people wanting to be something else and wishing that they had something else. Like, as much as you wish to be something else or to have something else, you're never, ever going to be different than what you are. Ever. Like, you're always going to be
you,
and I'm always going to be me. Like, do I wish I was smarter when it came to, like, remembering things? Absolutely. Do I wish that I could do other things better? I have the same insecurities that everyone else has, like you have about me for wrestling, that I have about you for, I don't know, some things that you do.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing, and it's all relative to who you are. And I hate that idea of wishing that you had what someone else has.
Well, no, yeah, absolutely. And that is a big, you know, you should be, grass is always greener on the other side of the fence type deal.
But until you get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everyone forgets that.
Right, of course.
That's the last part of that.
You hit that point in your life, though, and I've hit that probably within the past, I'd say, year or so, where you just have to understand that you are just, you are who you are, and you have to, like, do, I'm trying to think of the right way to word this, like, you have to not worry about anybody else and focus on yourself and realizing what your understanding of life is and what makes you happy.
Like, the big thing that I've been reading lately, sometimes I just sit for hours on the internet reading quotes and stuff, and I think one of the main ones, and I'm probably not even getting the correct quote, but the general gist of it is that people should stop comparing themselves to other people and comparing yourself to you yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, if you think that, if you think that you're closer to your goals than you were yesterday, then you're in the right realm. You're going the right way. You're progressing. But if you think, like, you have to be what I am to be successful or have the tools that I have to be successful, then you're wrong. And if I think that I have to have the tools that someone else has, then I'm wrong, because I have the tools that I have. I have to shape them to my own ability and then from there work to be the best that I can be, but not as good as someone else, because I'm never going to be someone else.
But yeah, I mean, you really need to, the only way the world is going, like, these things, like, things are going to change with, like, violence and everything, is you need to start focusing on what you're doing with yourself. And that's the only, as not to be selfish, you know what I'm saying? You should be nice and kind to people, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it's you who you have to make sure is being taken care of and is doing the right thing. You can't expect everyone else to go do the right thing. You have to lead by doing the right thing and hoping that it comes back to you.
So here's a crazy question, because in my head, as we were having this conversation, Michael Jackson's song Man in the Mirror is playing in my head.
Okay.
Do you know the lyrics?
No, not 100%.
All right, so I don't know the exact lyrics, but it's basically, if you want to make a change in the world, look at yourself and make a change.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Michael Jackson saying it.
Yeah, well, that's what, I mean, he did do it.
Did do what?
He made a change for himself. A couple of them.
Right. But this is what was going through my head, was, here's a very successful guy saying very smart things, and then behind the scenes doing some disgusting things.
Allegedly.
There are definitely people in this world that have given a lot more than they've taken, but what they've taken has given them a reputation for being a shitty person, even though they've done some very good in the world. Do you think? All right, so
example, please.
Michael Jackson.
Okay. Okay.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I'm trying to think now, because I'm sure that there's people that are listening to this screaming names.
Well, I mean, but that's the same. There's people. It all depends on how.
Well, let's just say this. Let's just say this.
Let's go to Adolf Hitler now. He was a huge public world leader, and he did do.
Invented the Volkswagen Beetle. Volkswagen, car of the people.
Right.
I don't, first of all, that's something I'm not saying you do drive a Volkswagen and you're Jewish, but that's not what I was saying. Was, all right, so this guy is all about superior race. We're the best people in the world. And then you invent the fucking Volkswagen Beetle. Like, that's your, hey, look at how awesome we are.
It's peaceful.
No, but look at it. It's the shittiest looking car in the world.
I like the Beetle.
There's a punching your friend game around the fact that you see the oddest looking car. Yeah. And that's the car
they play
he said.
That in Germany, though, or is that an American thing?
I think it's American.
Yeah.
But we're making fun of them.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Oh, look at that little Beetle. It will punch you. You know what I mean? Like, that's, to me, defining your race as superior and then producing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these people, like, they think they're really, like, taking care of doing the right thing. If Adolf Hitler, like, sat there, Hitler sat there and, like, focused on doing good things instead of. This blaming everything on an entire race, like he could have been this huge political, like,
which is why I disagree with you that we throw the L word around.
Really?
Because I believe, and I've only discovered this within probably the last year or two, that the key and the meaning to life is love. And not love like, oh, me and my fiance love each other. Is everything that I do should be about love. And fuck all the, I'm watching this guy and he's not as good as the next guy, so let's make fun of him.
Like, oh, I agree with that.
I'm
talking about physically using the word
love. But I mean, the word love, what does it mean? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, let's do that real quick. My reasoning, like I said before, love, it's a strong word. It's supposed to mean, have a lot of value to it. And if you tell everyone this person you love, like, you, I love you, like, we've been friends
but that's what I mean. So why is that throwing the world word around?
It's not in this example. It isn't, like, but
you mean like the 10 things I hate about you, I love my Prada backpack.
Yeah, exactly, like that. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Or like, even I love like this television show or this song.
Okay,
or, like,
so the definition of love as Google defines it is an intense feeling of deep affection. Okay,
right.
So when it comes to people, I don't think that you can say the word love enough, because I think the key to getting people to get to their highest level of whatever they're getting to is to tell them how much you mean to them and to tell them that you love them. Like, I mean, maybe it's wrong, but I tell the kids that I coach all the time that I love them all the time. Like, when I see them, when they're leaving, and I'm like, all right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow. I love you. Like, I just want them to know that. Because I do, man. Like, why am I doing this if I don't love them?
Right. You're investing your time.
It's not time. I'm investing my heart.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Giving everything I have to this. Like, I love them. Because if I didn't, why the fuck am I there?
No, I agree with, too. But it's,
I say love to almost everyone that I have some sort of emotional connection with. Not romantic,
right,
just in general.
Just yeah.
Like, I love you,
right?
Obviously. I love everyone that I have a positive connection with. I love them, man.
Right.
Because I do. Like, I want, love to me means I want nothing but the best for them. And I want them to do everything that they want to do positively in their life.
I agree that love itself in practice definitely needs to be spread. Like, that, I feel like, needs, you need to be nice to people, be kind and
but nice and kind is not what I'm talking about. Nice and kind is holding a door open for someone, and then they go in, and then they don't say thank you, and you're like, ah, whatever. That's nice and kind.
Yeah, but, like...
I'm talking about, like, love. Like, I would do things to put myself in a shitty situation because I want them to be better or have a better situation. And that's my life. And that is has been my life for the last couple of years, is that I'm constantly... And trust me and my fiance have conversations about this all the time,
right,
where there's moments where I break down and get frustrated, and I'm like, dude, I spend my entire life just loving everyone and trying them to get to the... And no one... I get nothing.
Reciprocates it the same way, too. But see, I feel like, you know, I have a lot of strong connections with people, you know, that I want the best for them, but I can say that I don't necessarily love them. Maybe I love our friendship. I think that's a word that needs to be a little bit more reserved for, I guess, bigger cases, you know, like a closer friendship, or if you just throw things.
But
like
why? That. But why are we labeling it that much that you're, like, that's a negative outlook on love for me, is that you're saying no to love.
I'm not saying no to it. I'm choosing saying be more selective into what you, I'm not saying you can't feel these things. I'm just talking about physically using the word. Like, there's lots of relationships where you think, oh, you know, I love this person, you know, like, this person's pretty great, like, I love, like, hanging out with them or something, and, but you wouldn't necessarily say that to them right off the bat, like, or even after years, you know, I've had tons of, like my wrestling friends who I could say, like, you know, I definitely love, like, I love them as a friend, and, like, I love them in that aspect, but, like, I wouldn't say I love you, like, you know, the same way I would say it to you. Like,
why not?
Because I feel like the word loses its value at that point.
But the word only gets the value from you using it. So if I'm saying I love you,
right,
and I love you,
right,
then it's not losing any value because I love you.
But see, it does though, because you're saying this to all these other entities. Like, it's like.
Okay.
The U.S.
So why does that lose it? If I love everyone.
Because there's. Yeah, how much.
If I love everyone.
Right.
That in my heart tells me I love them. Why does that lose value? Because you have to feel like you're above other people. And like that. That's what goes back to. Like, you have to have this sort of different. Like, you have to be special.
Right.
Like, we're not fucking special, dude. We're all here for the same reasons. We all want to be loved. We all want to love. Like, why do we have to be better than each other? Why do we have to be more successful than each other? Like, fuck that, man.
No, that I agree with, too. I mean,
it's all love. Can't we all, like, fuck it.
No, I'm not one to, like, stab you behind. I want all of us make it, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to bring anyone down. But at the same note, like, I feel like when I say I love something, it's just me personally, I guess there is no real right way to do it. Like, I feel like if I say something less, it's going to mean more when I say it. Going like back to the curse words again. Like, if I just drop the F-bomb all the time, or if I say it once every 6 months, when I drop that F-bomb, you're going to know I mean it. So just throwing around the word love, because a lot of people say it when they don't. And
are you comparing fuck and love together?
I mean, some people do that all the time.
Right.
But yeah, I am. Because it's the same note for word love. You know, like, I could, if I'm just walking around saying, I love this, I love this, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Well, or this, when I drop saying that, I
one,
love,
L, that but, one love.
But saying I love this. Well, but see, you're playing a game. Because you want other people to feel.
Well, I just don't feel that people actually understand what the word means.
But you're playing that game that if I withhold something and give it to one person, then they're going to feel better about it. But, you know, or you're going to feel better about it. But that's a game to me. Like, fuck that. I don't care who knows I love them because I love them.
Right.
And you're saying, well, if I hold back all of this and then just say to one person, then they're going to know that it means more. Well, but that's not true.
I feel that words should have value. Like,
they do have value. They have value in what you put into them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So to me, it's not how many times I say it. It's if I prove it when I say it. So my value in the word love is not how many times or who I say it to, but if I mean it when I say it, and if I could prove to these people that I mean it when I say it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you shouldn't say something. You definitely shouldn't be saying that word.
Do I agree with you that other people use the word love and make it fleeting in their own life?
Yes. Of course.
But do I agree that the word love has lost its meaning? No, because it's all about how you in your life use the word. Because listen, we're all living in our own worlds. So you can choose what anything means. So if you want to say to someone, when I say spring water to you, it means I love you. Then for the rest of that person's life, when you say spring water, they're going to get the same feeling that love. So fuck the word. The word itself means nothing. It's all about what you put behind that word. So if you want to create a new word like shblah, and say that means love, I shblah blah, blah you and... Then yeah, everyone's like, ooh, I want to be shpalad.
I guess so.
You know what I mean? So
then I guess maybe my issue isn't necessarily with the word.
It's other people.
Yeah.
But why does that matter to you? Other people's lives and other people's choices on what love is.
It doesn't, but other people's definition, like my definition of love and what it means to me being so different from someone else's, now it just, I mean, you have to understand that if you take everything with the understanding that people don't necessarily mean things the same way as you do. But now love has this different meaning in my head, you know, a different level of value to me to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but that's your definition.
Right.
And people that know you will have to get to know you enough to know that's what you mean by that. So I understand that you don't want to say love until people know who you are because that makes sense.
Or know that who they are.
Well, that's never going to happen. Most people will never know who they are. Yeah, because even if I asked you or if I asked myself who I am, it's probably not who I am and who you are.
Right.
But the only problem is that we are only living in our own lives. So we can only see things from our own perspective. So that word love, it only means what it means to you.
Right.
So you should stop looking at what other people are saying love means or using the word or that it's fleeting to them and just define it for yourself.
Of course.
Because that's what I'm trying to do is every word that means something, I'm trying to define it for myself. And the word love to me means that I would do things for them that I wouldn't do for the people that I don't love, or that I have an emotional connection to them and I want to see them succeed and I want to see them do well. Like, that's what love means to me. And yes, romantic love,
of course,
what you're talking about is what
I was just talking about. Yeah, I guess romantic love is specifically where we were.
I'm on a high right now, by the way, from this conversation. Like, the whole love thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I just want to go out and just tell everyone I love them. I'm serious.
You know, that's okay, too. Like,
because that's how I want to live my life. And one of the questions...
I agree with spreading love, I guess, but the difference between actually meaning...
First question I have written down that I didn't even get to any questions that... I wanted, because we're already an hour in.
I did just notice that, actually.
All right, so we're already an hour in, and it might be a shitty thing to think of, and it's probably selfish, but the question is, what will people say at your funeral? Ooh. So that's the question. And to me, if I'm making people's lives better, not for when I'm not here, but for when I am here. Like, Colin West had this conversation with me, and he fucking is so afraid of death.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I remember you always had a bit of a death.
Yeah. And since I've been, I'm more about, like, I found more, maybe it's because I didn't have any meaning to my life. And now that I have some sort of meaning with what I'm doing, it's less of a fear of death and more of a, well, I'm doing the right things. If I die, people will know who I was and who I am. So Colin West is afraid of death because he said he needs to leave a legacy. Because the idea of him dying a nobody is what scares him. But he's going to die a nobody anyway, because in his mind, in his consciousness, he's never going to know if people talk about him when he's dead. Right. So why does it matter what legacy you're leaving at the end of your life? And concentrate on the legacy you're leaving now. Like, I don't want to know what people will say at my funeral. I want to know, I want to dig into their brain right now and see what they think of me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think...
Like, do you think you can consciously think of what people would say about you?
Not at all. just because, I mean, I know what I think about me, like, and I do think a lot of good qualities about myself that a lot of people will see and obviously mention, but, like, I think I'm funny, I'm smart, you know, all the basic, you know, blah, blah, blah stuff you hear. I also understand a lot of I'm very aware of my own faults. You know, I can tell what kind of things I say that are, like, annoying or, you know, when I'm being obnoxious. Like, I'm aware of these things. And it's just...
So why don't you not do them?
Huh?
If you're aware of it happening.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, there's times that you don't...
And is there embarrassment?
It's like a hindsight thing.
Is there
thing,
embarrassment,
you know, like,
to, like, acknowledging them in front of other people, though? Like, you, when you go home, you're like, wow, that's kind of shitty of me. But do you ever go out of your way to be like, oh, that was really shitty of me?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Actually, you're actually going to be a kind of kick of this. When we were living together, I was dating a girl named Megan.
Yes.
I saw her this past 4th of July, actually, after I left Quest's house.
Mm. Was she wearing blue and white, and then her hair was the red?
Regardless, it was like, damn it. Well, the way things, it was a really crappy breakup. I pretty much just screamed at this girl. We were working one night for Workout World. You know, actually, she was working. I met her to meet her the last time I spoke to her. We just got into this really nasty argument. Like, I was done. I was fed up, and she just wasn't getting it. Like, I tried being nice about it, so I hit this point in my mind where I was just like, I have to do whatever I had to do to get rid of this person. And I said some really terrible, awful things to this girl, and it bothered me. Like, for a while, yeah, I was angry about the relationship and how unhappy I was, and I held on to that for a little while. But as, like, I started, like, growing up in the past couple years, I realized that I shouldn't have handled that situation that way, because everyone's different. Everything's a case-to-case scenario, and just because we didn't mesh that well doesn't mean... I think the word I actually used to describe was, like, you're a cancer to my life or something along those lines. Yeah, it was really terrible. So, anyway, this... After, like, years, whatever, this was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and after seeing her, like, a couple times since then, nothing, like, I just kind of developed, like, you know... There's a moment where, like, I didn't really mean those things I said. It was just a product of me being angry. So when I did see her, I actually, like, I apologized. Like, you know, I was like, listen, like, I just said, like, I asked her about her family and stuff. Like, had a real conversation. And I was like, listen, I said a lot of terrible, really awful things I probably didn't actually mean. And
probably?
No. Well, I mean...
Because
At the time, I definitely, like, I thought I meant it, but, like, they were just a little ridiculous and over the top.
But do you think...
Like, a little, like, excessive, you
know? Do you think that those... Because those words, like, saying to someone, you're a cancer to my life, do you think that those words meant more of... Because this is how I feel, and... You're more mad at how you allowed the person to affect you than how they actually did affect you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she wasn't the cancer to your life.
Right.
You allowing her to be that way to you was the cancer in your life.
Well, that's exactly what it is, too. That's what I, you know, it wasn't so much that she was a bad person or she was a legitimate cancer. It's just the way our relationship ended up going. Like, you know, it's just the way we...
Right, because she was her.
It was unhealthy, you know.
And you were you.
All the time. Like,
right, but she was her and you were you.
Yeah.
And there's one thing that I discovered recently in, like, reading and listening to podcasts and stuff is that your choice behind things are always the real thing instead of what's happening.
Right.
So it's not what happens to you. It's your thoughts about what happens to you. So, like, in that moment... Her doing that stuff wasn't the bad thing, and more of your thoughts about that stuff were the bad thing.
Right.
So you don't have to hate someone to break up with them. If it's at a moment where, okay, I kind of just don't like where I am in this situation with this person, and
well,
you just tell her.
Prior to that was
but you let
too.
It get to the point where it was so toxic that the fire that came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. Just in the future, for me, I'm kind of like set. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. Dealing with, like, and hopefully I never have to deal with anything like that again.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I kind of, my next relationship right after the one with Megan was with a girl named Jen.
Right.
Which where roles got kind of reversed, you know, where I ended up being the toxic to her life, you know, and I mean, we're both toxic to each other. That's just how it worked. But like, ultimately, like, she hit that point where she realized I was the toxic, and being on the opposite side of it now, it's just, there is, it's just all relative to the person, you know? I mean, it doesn't make me any less of, like, I got real depressed after we broke up and things ended.
Megan or Jen?
Jen.
Okay.
Jen. Well, Megan, yeah, the second I broke up with Megan, I hit the gym and started losing.
So that
and
was...
And then, you know, I got with Jen, and I did the same thing too. That's my breakup thing, the weight loss. But anyway, like, you realize, like, you for a while, yeah, I was real bitter about, like, you know, the situation with Jen where she didn't want anything to do with me, whatever, blah, or only wanted to be, like, whatever, slight friends. But I realized it's not, it wasn't necessarily me and who I am. It's just how I am affected her, and that it just wasn't working. And that made me, you know, had me thinking about the Megan Now thing where it wasn't her, that she wasn't a terrible, cancerous person. It's just how it affected my life time, or how I handled it. So like, it's just it's like a sense of like growing up, like you need to be more understanding,
right? And not even that too, but like the same thing with what you said was when me and you were living together.
Yeah.
We both did the same thing to each other, and it wasn't so much of what the other person was doing, but it made me how it made me feel about myself.
Right.
Like I didn't come talk to you like a man and say, hey man, when you do these things, like, can we not, it bothers me, whatever. Right. Like I didn't say a word to you until it got to the point where I was already making the point, like, he's right. An asshole. He doesn't give a shit.
Right.
Instead of just saying, no, he's not an asshole. And no, he doesn't not give a shit. He's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah.
We have fun together all the time. Like, he's not a piece of shit. Like, this is just one scenario where
that was a really hard time, especially
right.
Us,
but you know what I mean? Like,
if
more people say what they mean and a more positive way,
oh, absolutely,
then things wouldn't be as, oh, that guy's a piece of shit. And because it's easy to label things, and it's easy to just go like throw things away instead of saying, oh, there's a deeper meaning behind it.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Easy. It's easy for me to sit in my room and be like, no, fuck that guy, instead of saying, no, he's awesome. It's just we're not seeing eye to eye on this scenario.
And I think especially now with the technology and cell phones and internet, it's getting more difficult for people to sit there and speak to each other when they have a problem, because 95% of our communication or speaking happens through screens and text. So like, for you and for people to actually sit down and have a conversation about something real, it never happens. Like, it just, especially in relationships, going back to, like, you know, either their friendships or girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, a lot of people will sit there and fight when they're apart on text messages than having that real convert, have a real, a normal discussion, like face to face. And I feel like people just had sat down and talked about things, you know, instead of just fighting and went into things with open mind and conversation, everything would get, people might be more open to, and willing to change, or, you know, to, I don't know, compromise.
Right.
That's the word.
Compromise. All right. So listen, we are an hour and 12 minutes in.
Cool.
If there's anything you want to like plug, or like your Facebook, your Twitter. I don't know if you use any of that stuff, because I don't think you use Twitter, do you?
No, I don't use it to promote myself. I definitely don't use Twitter. I have one. I don't use it.
Have one. Don't use it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of want to get in, and this episode has given me, I mean, this is only my sixth episode, so I'm going to start learning to do more and cooler things.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start ending my podcast with a quote that kind of relates to everything that we were talking about.
Okay.
And I'm just Googling and searching as we're both talking, which is fun. So I have one, but anything that you want to say last before I leave off on this?
You can follow me on Facebook, Hedges. It's just that simple. Instagram, give it all up for me. It's my little my tagline. Other than that, that's where I have all my, I post mostly all my wrestling stuff. You're listening to this as a wrestling podcast.
All right. So every episode, sparingly, because I don't think I've done it every episode, but sparingly, I do some sort of, not hashtag, but like a phrase. So okay. that if people listen all the way through, and at the very end, they'll be like, they'll tweet me the word or the phrase, so that way I know that they listen to the whole thing. Is it? And I usually ask the guests to give that phrase. So if someone listened to this whole thing, I want you to give them something to tweet me, so I know that they listened the whole way. So like when Eric Corvus was on, he had a whatchamacallit bar with him. So he said, tweet at Eric Corvus, whatchamacallit, and then I'll know you listened the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's, and Damage said, just tweet Kennedy Rose at, oh. so that way we know you made it all the way through. Okay. So if it is there a phrase that?
Yeah, I'd say hashtag give it all up for me.
All right, that's good. So here's, this is how I'm going to end it. I have a quote in front of me, and I want you to hear it, and I want everybody to hear it. So this is how I'm going to end. As soon as I'm done with this, the end quote, I'm just going to hit stop. And I
no,
might actually.
No, you're not.
What?
Because I want to have to, I have one more.
You have one more what?
Thing I have to finish saying. Well, I'm going to give you the end of that joke, too. So
you shouldn't have said at the end of the joke. You just said I have a story to tell.
Yeah.
Save it now. Because I'm going to have you on again.
All right, cool.
Probably, yeah. I'm like months from now, you're going to be on, and you're going to start the podcast.
Make a note of that I still didn't finish that joke.
Or I will.
Actually, that's a good way to hashtag finish the joke.
There it is. Hashtag finish the joke. All right, so here's the quote. The secret of attraction is to love yourself. Attractive people judge neither themselves nor others. They are open to gestures of love. They think about love. They express their love in every action. They know that love is not a mere sentiment, but the ultimate truth at the heart of the universe. So basically what it means is what I'm saying to you is that it's not just the sentiment of saying I love you, but it's the mere heart of everything we do. And that everything that I do, I try to do out of love.
And I do the same, and I just feel that you can do that without saying.
So you just ruined everything I said. That was episode 6 of Arcadia Revelations. Hashtag finish the joke.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.